Sheep are our most unfortunate of the herd animals we've domesticated. Think about it for a moment. Sheep are the only herd animals we have that need something to protect them. A llama, a sheepdog, something else. Cows generally can fend for themselves. They can figure it out. Sheep, not so much. They'll get caught in a hole or fall down a cliff or get stuck in brambles. They got issues. Similarly, how is a sheep going to protect itself? What does it have? Wool? So the animal comes up and bites it and gets all this hair in its mouth and goes, ew, that's gross, I'm done with this. Or maybe it kicks it with its hoof, headbutts it. What do sheep have for defense? Run away? They're pretty defenseless overall. So that's why they need so much to protect them. They can't do much. So it begs the question, why did God choose sheep? Sheep are the number one most common animal spoken of in Scripture, especially in connection with sacrifices and with God. Before we get to that point of answering that question, however, I want to give you a quick overview of all the different parts of Scripture that really do focus on sheep and the value of sheep. There's a reason God chose sheep. If we go all the way back to Abraham, Abraham was supposed to sacrifice Isaac. God told him, sacrifice your son. So he takes him up the hill, as we know, and he's about to sacrifice him. As the knife was about to come down and slaughter his son, the angel stopped him. No, don't do that. And as soon as they finished their dialogue, he turns around and sees a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. Why not a deer? Why not a buffalo? Why not a fish? That'd be really strange, truly miraculous, if a fish was caught in the woods. Nevertheless, or a goose. There have been so many other animals. Why a ram? It'd be more often you'd find a deer or maybe a goose. Rams are rare. Most of them were domesticated. But there's a reason for this. The reason is very simple. God is setting up something. He's setting up two strands of thought. The first one is, sheep become the most important sacrificial animal to the Israelites. And here we have the beginning of it. If he sacrificed a deer, we'd have easily say, well, I can sacrifice whatever I want. Or if it's a bird, then it'd be birds. He set up the pattern for the sacrifices based on what Abraham had available, what God gave him, the ram. In the same way, the ram is symbolic of Jesus. Whereas God did not allow Abraham to sacrifice his son, God allowed his own son to be sacrificed, who became the Lamb of God, the ram of the sacrifice. So in many ways, that ram that Abraham sacrificed is a foreshadowing of what Jesus would eventually do, become the lamb sacrificed for our sake. As we go a little further, we reach the Israelites in the desert and in the land of the Promised Land. Here God gives them a whole mess of sacrifices, all of which with different prescriptions. For instance, a sin offering. If someone commits a major sin, they have to make a sacrifice. It can be a bull, it can be a ram, it can be a sheep, it can be birds if they're poor, but there's all these different sacrificial animals, each with different meanings. The bull was to recognize a very major sin. Sheep was the most common, or if you're really poor, birds. Regardless, when they sacrificed an animal, they brought it to the priest, slaughtered it, but the person wouldn't get the animal back. One of the few sacrifices where that's the case. Instead, the priest would eat it or they'd burn it entirely as a sign, you cause an offense, you give something up. The second most common form of offering would be the one on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, the priest was supposed to offer a bull, a ram, and seven sheep. A lot of animals there. That only the priests would eat. The people just offered it as a sign of asking for forgiveness for the whole community. God was usually depicted as a bull, strong animal that can rush through things and has power behind him. God is a powerful animal of the ox. The sheep, however, were supposed to represent the people. So they're giving an offering to God and an offering of their own, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Both all these animals together signify the entire community. And they offered it, the priest would eat it, and that's the end. The odd one in the midst of all this is Passover. The Feast of Passover had very strong prescriptions, one of which is you could only offer a 3-year-old unblemished lamb. No other options. No oxen, no birds, nothing else. Otherwise, you were cast away from the society for a year. Similarly, at Passover, they had to make sure that the animal was kept whole and intact. No broken legs, no scars, no blemishes, which means you had to keep it in your house from the moment it was a young lamb so that it was ready for Passover, almost treating it like a child. Because if you didn't have a lamb for Passover, you're exiled. After they slaughtered the lamb at Passover, they were required to eat it. It's the only sacrifice in which the Israelites were required to eat it. Moses mentions this 5 times in the book of Exodus, the only prescript of the law repeated 5 times. And they said, you must eat it entirely. If you don't, you're not one of us. You're not Israelite for the next year until the next Passover. But what was Passover about? Passover had 3 main elements to it. The first and most prominent one was the recognition that they were freed from Egypt. So it had this sense of freedom. Freedom from slavery, freedom to follow God, freedom to be his people. The second one was identity. It marked them as Jewish because God chose them. Hence, they were Jewish. So the sense of gathering together for Passover, celebrating this meal together, and eating it, all connected with their identity. They are Israelites. They are God's people. The third part was the covenant. This was the establishment of the covenant, the pact, the agreement between them and God, that they would agree to follow God's laws and do as God asks, and God would bless them. By eating of the sacrifice, that lamb, they are making a statement that we are joining into this and agreeing to these terms of the covenant. With this in mind, why did Jesus choose the Last Supper for his meal, that one? Why not Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement? Wouldn't that make sense? He saves us from our sins. On that day, it would connect the two ideas, saving from sins and the act in the Jewish year that would save them from their sins. But he didn't. He chose Passover. Passover is far more manifold in its reasons than Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is one. By making the Passover the fulfillment of all things, the start of the new covenant, he's bringing forward all those ideas and making them fulfilled. First of is the covenant. The covenant didn't end. It got fulfilled in Jesus. Now we can fulfill the prescripts of the law because he did it first. He opened up that avenue of grace that was laid barren for so long by allowing the Last Supper to be our new covenant. In the same way, he shows us our identity. In the Mass, the Last Supper, we know who we are because of the covenant. We are the baptized. We are God's people. We are the ones he has chosen out of the world to become his special people. And lastly, it's the only one where we have another element we do, namely eat the sacrifice. Hence, we have to eat the sacrifice to become part of it, to join into it, to become part of that covenant. Hence, the Mass, where we eat the Lamb of God, we drink his blood, and therefore become part of that covenant. All of these things are fulfilled because of what was already in the Passover and fulfilled with Jesus in the Last Supper. So why lamb? You notice that all of them have lamb. All of them have the option to sacrifice a lamb. Well, let's talk about sheep for a little while. Sheep are fascinating. So on one level, they're incredibly docile. They're kind of lame in that way. If you went to slaughter a sheep, it'll just lay there and let you slit its throat and be like, okay, I die now. Because they trust the shepherd that much. That's the impression that the people were supposed to get, that their example of how they follow God was that level of docility. Whatever you want, God, I'll do it. I'll lay down my life. I'll do whatever it needs to happen to follow you. In the same way, sheep are strange in that how they follow a shepherd. The way that sheep behave is whatever sheep moves, they just follow that one. So if it goes off to the right, all the sheep go off to the right. That's just what they do. They have no rhyme or reason. They just follow the sheep that goes first. In that way, they need a shepherd to keep them out of harm, which is the images we have in today's gospel. Jesus is the good shepherd. In Near Eastern world, where we actually still have shepherds, they don't lead from the front. They lead from the back. And it's very practical why. Anyone who shepherds any animals know why. So you can watch them and know where they go and slap the ones that go the wrong direction and get them back in line. You need to make them coalesce into a group and see where they're going. But that's not what Jesus says. He leads from the front. Why? The answer is very simple. He trusts his sheep. He's not there for economic gain. He's not there to profit from them. He's not there to slaughter them. He's there to lead them. And so in that way, the sheep know his voice. They know the good shepherd, the one they love and care about, the one they trust, and will follow him. And if they choose to go astray, that's their choice. He's not hurting them for the sake of his own gain. He's hurting them for their gain, which means if they go astray, that's okay. They can always come back. Those who want to will follow him and go where he needs to go. His sheep have freedom. There's another part of the sheep that we often forget. Sheep need care. God didn't want us to just go hunt a deer and say, "Here, I gave you a deer." What meaning does that have to us besides I slaughtered something for your sake? Now, if it was sheep, that means I've raised them since ewes. I've brought them up. I've cared for them. I've shepherded them. I brought them to all these places. I've made them something special. Therefore, when I bring them for the sacrifice, it's not just an animal. It's an expression of all my work, all my energy, my livelihood, my goodness went into this. I have given something important for the sake of God. That was the last image of a sheep. The care went into it, so it meant something when they offered it. Not just a random animal we found, but an animal I cared for. With all these in mind, we can now answer the question, why sheep? Because that's who we're supposed to be. Whether we like it or not, we're supposed to be like the sheep, the ones God cares for, the ones he shepherds, the ones who are supposed to be docile and follow him wherever he goes, have such trust and care that we know the voice of the shepherd who calls us by name. Did you hear that in today's gospel? He doesn't just call sheep, he knows them by name. Sheep do know their names, by the way. And so in that way, like Mary, when Jesus comes back after the resurrection, she doesn't recognize him until he calls her by name, Mary. He calls us by name and calls us out of the world to himself. Do we like that image? Do we want to be like this? We should reflect on this and challenge ourselves. What part of being sheep do we not like? What parts are uncomfortable or aggravating or frustrating to us? What parts do we like? What parts resonate with us? What parts do we need to grow in to become more like sheep, the docile animals before God who willingly follow him and do as he asks? Because we are his sheep, his beloved, his cared for, who he wants to care about and care for and lead us to life-giving waters, give us life abundantly. Do we want to be like that? Do we want to be his sheep?